is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The People's Republic of China. It is part of the business cycle worldwide, and right now there's a general contraction presumed. The IMF is lowering expectations for 23, 24. The U.S. itself is in doubt about its immediate future. The word recession is now commonplace. And what does that mean for the People's Republic of China, recovering from the pandemic, recovering from the ruinous policy of COVID zero and other depredations? Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend, and we're also joined by our friend and colleague, Fraser Howie, the co-author of The Red Capitalism, The Fragile Financial Foundation of China's Extraordinary Rise. Fraser, I tell an anecdote from a colleague of mine who has business on the mainland, Pearl River Basin. The anecdote is all we have because the numbers from China are either non-transparent or unbelievable. The anecdote goes like this. For weeks since the COVID zero policy was lifted or obliged to be lifted by a general uprising among the population, for weeks there have been phone calls around in the Pearl River Valley. Have you got any business for us? You got any work we could do for you? We've got an assembly line here and our order book is light. Weeks it's been going on. And then a turn in the road. Most recent phone call from the same or other factory owners, I don't have those details, is that, have you got any business for us? Yes, maybe we do. But then you learn we've raised our prices. And the response from the client is, you've raised your prices in a slowdown? Why did you do that? Here's the punchline, Fraser. We were ordered to by Beijing. Why, Fraser? Why would they order a factory that needs work to raise its prices? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Hello, Gordon. It's just incredible, isn't it? But this is where you end up when you choose to ignore market forces, when you think you can dictate market outcomes, and that you think you can just command yourself or will your way out of severe economic problems that have been brewing for a very, very long time in China. They're in a difficult position that they don't have the demand to keep workers busy, yet at the same time, they're requiring and they need basically people to spend more, to consume more, and you can only do that by paying people more, or you get social unrest. So put all that together, you literally have a series of insoluble problems.
And the problem right now is they're out of cash. How do you read this immediately? Beijing ordering raise your prices. It seems like a failure of economics 101.
Well, of course it does, because they've never really tried to follow economics 101. What they've done is that they've believed that they're, you know, through a command economy still, that they can buck economics. And for a long time, China seemed to get away with it, because when many people looked at the Chinese economy, and I'm thinking particularly foreigners here looking at the Chinese economy, they refused to actually factor in all the costs that were associated with it. They took a lot of the government's numbers at face value. They only looked at the good stories without understanding the costs that's involved. So you are exactly trying to buck economics here. And in the same way, that if there are such things as laws of economics, they don't stop at the border of China. So you're going to run into these problems. And China is just running into problems. Its model that has followed for so long has now run out of steam, and China is finding it very difficult to fund itself across a number of different areas.
Gordon, what is your first reaction to this odd anecdote, ideology over economics?
Xi Jinping has been applying ideology over economics for quite some time. We've been seeing it most dramatically, for instance, when he attacked Jack Ma after Ma gave a really sort of insipid speech at a conference in Shanghai in late 2021. There was then the last minute cancellation of the Ant Group initial public offering, which was going to be the largest in the world. We've seen the crackdown on the tech sector. We've seen this across the board. And this is Xi Jinping being Xi Jinping. He actually believes he's Mao Zedong.
And the state-owned enterprise or state-influenced enterprise, they're now commonplace, if I understand, Gordon. So it doesn't matter whether these are private enterprise factories or state-owned enterprise factories, they're going to obey orders, raise prices. Is that correct?
That's correct. And they're going to obey other orders. And most ominously, we've been hearing reports that Communist Party cadres have been ordering private-owned factories to switch their production from items for the civilian population to items for the Chinese military. The distinction between private and state has been blurred significantly in the last year or so.
You have a question for our friend Fraser.
Fraser, if we can look at the tech sector for a moment, because this is where foreign investors have seen a lot of the directives from Beijing. It seems like we're going into another tech crackdown after a two-week reprieve. Where do you see this going?
Well, I say that it was a false dawn those 2 weeks where there was a little bit of hope, where people read incredible things into Jack Ma. I think we spoke about that last time, about how Jack Ma had made a speech or had been at a school, and there was some restructuring of Alibaba, and all of a sudden, you know, the tech crackdown was over. And of course, it never was. The restraints and the controls are still very much in place. I think if you want a quick summary of where we're heading, just look at the news out this week about how China wants to regulate AI and these large language models such as ChatGPT, that they've just come out basically stating that the answers that come out of these things must basically support the socialist principles of the Communist Party and building Xi Jinping's new China, etc. It's truly farcical in terms of how they're trying to control the outputs of things like a large language model. It makes absolutely no sense. And you really have to wonder when we all, well, it's not to not take the Chinese threat seriously, you have to wonder what advantage or leads could China possibly ever have on AI when you've got politicians, when you've got communist apparatniks dictating the output of such programs. It just defies belief.
Yes, the Chinese Communist Party doesn't like the orbit of the moon. It'll be any day now addressing and correcting. Fraser, we see Apple, to name a high-profile corporation, making headlines about its moves to China. Even the commander of the boss of Apple in India, moving from China to India. Is that significant to the party in Beijing? Are they paying attention to Apple taking some of its business elsewhere?
They probably are, but let's also not forget that Tim Cook was given a hero's welcome, was he not, just a few weeks ago in China. They still talk up China. He certainly talks up China. And that while there is some degree of spreading their business, they're certainly still hugely dependent on China as an assembly plant, as a market to sell. They must have tremendous holdings of cash renminbi and funds that they must have debates that they're keeping within China. So I don't think the Beijing is particularly worried yet. There seems to be very few high-profile CEOs who have really understood the dangers that they face of investing in China, or at least putting it this way, I should say, having so many of their eggs in a Chinese basket.
Gordon,
I think it's very difficult.
We have about a minute for Fraser.
Fraser, with the downturn in the Chinese economy evident, won't that tend to drive foreign investment to India and to others?
You would certainly like to think so. But I think the danger there is all economies go up and down. I think we also need to appreciate with China that there is a serious strategic threat here as well. And that while it's virtually impossible for many global companies to simply ignore China and somehow act as if it doesn't exist, its market is simply too big, they need to get very serious about what level of engagement they have in China, what dependence they have in China, because we've already seen with dependencies on Russia, getting into bed with a totalitarian state is never just about economics. There's a whole host of other requirements that come with that.
Fraser Howie, co-author of Red Capitalism, The Fragile Financial Foundation of China's Extraordinary Rise and Puzzling Descent. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.